I'm Roberto Bocca, Head of Energy at the World Economic Forum. I'm joining you from Geneva, Switzerland.
And hello, this is Karthik Malhotra. Roberto Bocca, it's a pleasure having you join us all the way from Geneva today. Well, it's a strange day. We've seen a historic crash in crude oil prices. And of course, you understand and appreciate better than anybody else that the world economy depends largely on crude oil. While there was a bit of a recovery later in the day, do you think the worst is behind us, or is the worst yet to follow?
Well, I think when it comes to the world economy is a big question. The oil is a separate issue, although they are related. So I do think that there will be improvements to come, but in the short run it's difficult to say. There is a lot of volatility. Some of it is also due to some disconnect between the physical market and the financial market. As you have seen yesterday, impact was due also to contracts that were coming to expiration. And so there were some financial element versus physical element playing in the yesterday crash.
But do you anticipate a similar problem or a similar crash to happen when the June contracts also come into play next month?
Well, I guess this will be a good lesson. So there is a month to put things in place. But certainly the fundamental issue is that there is an oversupply and a lower demand than what the supply is trying to face. So with all the storage full, that's a challenge that is going to be out there. And I suspect that with all what is going on, many more people are trying to speculate and predict the future. So it's bringing also more amateurial player on the market. And so that might not help.
But Roberto, help us understand, storage capacity or demand is unlikely to gather any momentum in the foreseeable future. So how do you think the situation will be any different a month from now, 2 months from now, 3 months from now?
Yeah, I mean, I think we have to look at this in from the perspective of not just the what the oil price is going to be, but the impact that this has on the economy. And so, of course, there are bad news, but there are also good news. So the bad news is for sure for the countries that rely on oil. And by the way, these are not only the producer countries, but there are also the consumer countries that, of course, leverage taxes and dividend from shares and so on. But there is also a positive side of the story. This is for the consumer country like yours, like India, where the impact is positive, right? Some data that I have is that $1 in the oil price decrease equivalent to $1.6 billion reduction in the import bill. So when you talk about 10 and 10 of dollar reduction, this is a huge impact on your current account balance. So it's a reduction in cost that can be deployed in different way. So there are bad stories, but there are also good stories.
No, I definitely buy your point, Roberto, that for a consumer nation like India and many other emerging economies, it's definitely great news that the crude prices are falling. But it would be great news if the situation was normal and there was consumption in India. Right now, India itself might not want to import as much oil as it used to, perhaps.
Yeah, that is right. That goes to your point of storage. Maybe it's a good opportunity to store some oil for the rainy days coming after. Yeah, you know, look, some of the prediction of the economists and prediction are just prediction, but they're talking about 2Q is going to be the worst and 3Q will be still bad, but improving. And then the 4Q might be the where we start seeing really sign of recovery. So for this quarter, to your point, is going to be really tough. I think this quarter is going to be tough. But I also think that the economies and the people are adapting, right? So this is a shock, is something unexpected. And then little by little, there is adaptation. Human beings are used to adapt and innovate. So these circumstances are challenging the status quo. It's not business as usual. It's not the usual economic model, but that's an opportunity to adapt as well.
So do you think the producers and the consumers of oil are now likely to sort of sit together and plan out a mitigation strategy? So do you think the upstream and the downstream now need to converge at some point and understand how best to optimize this excessive supply, which is leading to such shock?
I think this is a great question. I think this is, if you look at what has happened a few weeks ago with the conversation of OPEC and the next day of G20, there was almost a global alignment between OPEC, OPEC Plus, and the G20 on what should happen. And of course, it was insufficient because the scale of the impact of the COVID is much bigger. But that was the first element of a possible agreement. I think energy is certainly an enabler of economic growth. I think we all think that it is. And so to have a sort of agreement or understanding of how the market play, but also somehow regulating it in a certain way is an opportunity. So I do think there is an opportunity for this to happen again and maybe go beyond also oil, because energy stability, to some extent, give the opportunity for the energy transition to happen in a smooth way.
So how do long-term contracts play out at a time like this? So I understand the month-to-month contracts are leading to such shocks for us. At a time like this, how do long-term contracts play out for countries which are in a long-term agreement to procure some oil or gas?
Well, I guess it's on a negotiation base. So that would be really very much, this is a great period, but it's an uncharted period for contracts. Long-term contracts have always been made. There are countries that in the past have preferred the stability to say, I know what the price is going to be, whichever way it goes, at least I have stability. There will be countries that prefer more, to play on the day. It's like a fixed contract on your mortgage or a variable. So it depends what people prefer.
Right, Roberto. Tell us about your experience right now in Switzerland. What is the situation there like with respect to COVID-19? And what are some of the conversations that you are picking up? How bad is it?
So the situation here is improving. They're talking about a slow opening up from next week, the 27th, and so the cases are reducing. So I wouldn't say there is optimism, but because we all know that we will have to live with the virus for a few more months and maybe years. But there is the new normal that is being established and new rules put in place to avoid the contamination of people. So there are some positive signs, although we are not yet to see the light out of the tunnel.
And what is your personal perspective and perhaps the perspective of the World Economic Forum on the way India has managed to at least, if not flatten the curve completely, at least bring the angle a little lower? So what are your views on how India is managing and dealing with the situation that the whole world is grappling with right now?
Yeah, you know, I think this will be history that will tell which country has managed better than others. And a country as complex as India with the large population and different state, different latitude and so on, certainly is very challenging. I think all the head of governments around the world are really trying to find the best solution. Looking at the number, India is certainly not the worst country. There are countries like mine, I'm originally from Italy, doing much, much worse. So hopefully you found the solution, and if you have, please pass it on.
Well, we are already exporting a lot of medicines. Hydroxychloroquine is on its way to the whole world. Thank you so much, Roberto, for joining us. It's a pleasure interacting with you, as always. And do take care of yourself.
Thanks. Same for you. Thank you very much.